Hi, good luck. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are up to Parsha Bichukotai. That's right, we're finishing Sefer Vayikra, moving on to Bamidbar next week. And we're also approaching the Chag of Shavuos, which I'll speak more about next week, but I will tap somewhat into it today as well. But before we start, I wanted to just mention this shiur is sponsored twofold this time, one in loving memory of Sara Bala Bat Menachem Mendel, may her neshama have an aliyah, and also in Refuah Shalema for Michal Yaakov HaKohen Ben Itol Gittel, who had surgery today. So wishing him well, and I guess let us begin. So even though this week is a single parsha, Bichukotai, there are many things actually linking Bahar and Bichukotai, so even though it's not a double parsha, I will kind of speak about both ideas, both Bahar and Bichukotai again. Many of the research I've done kind of, just in many years I've been thinking about both of them concurrently or in conjunction with each other. So in Bahar, so in last week's Parsha, it speaks multiple times of the Shemitah years and the Yovel year, which I spoke about last week. Of course, this year actually is a Shemitah year, so it's even more on people's minds. Now, the Yovel cycle is comprised of seven sets of 7 years, and the Yovel year is the 50th, and that's what follows, right? Obviously, you can already see the parallel between the 7 weeks leading up until Shavuos and Shavuos being the 50th day itself. So similarly, the Pesach and Shavuos is also a double set of seven, right? Because each of those 7 weeks is comprised of 7 days. We therefore have 49 different combinations, which leads to this 49 emanations or spherot combinations, which many of us say part of Maariv. Not getting into the concept of how those work right now, but there's still a double set of seven. 7 weeks of 7 days each. It's kind of the seven times seven. So that's 49. That goes into a 50, right? So 49 years going into the 50th year of Yovel, or 49 days going into the 50th day of Shavuot. Now, the entire time from Pesach to Shavuot is a period of recognition of Hashem's mastery. Pesach is called the Shabbos for that reason, and we start counting L'macharas Shabbos, right, which is something we had to dispute with the Tzedukim. That Shabbos in that case doesn't refer to the actual Shabbos, it refers to Pesach. Pesach is referred to Shabbos for a whole number of reasons I'm not going to get into right now. But I'll mention one reason, and that is Pesach was the time when all of Klal Yisrael recognized the great mastery of Hashem, that he was unequivocally the ruler, master, and everything in between of the world. And obviously that's part of the function of Shabbos, is to recognize Hashem's mastery over the world. And this process of understanding, right, so first comes the revelation of Pesach. It's like, oh my gosh, Hashem controls everything. So then we have to build up from that. We have to build ourselves up once we realize that. The period of recognition of understanding Hashem's mastery, not just acknowledgement, but starting to just, I mean, obviously, we can only, even on the highest level, we can only understand just a tiny glimpse of it as physical human beings. But to whatever extent we can, we want to start understanding Hashem's mastery of the world and the way in which he plays a role in our lives. So going from Pesach to Shavuot, that's more of initially was a mastery over nature, right? That Hashem was able to subvert the general laws of nature by the Makot and by the Yom Suf, and ultimately went into the master plan of giving the Torah, right? Which is something which is completely unrelated to nature and completely unrelated to this world, although now, of course, we have it connected to our world once the Torah was given. So this also parallels placing trust in Hashem, because the Shemitah years are connected there according to the recognition of Hashem's true mastery of the world. Because if you can have faith, you know, have emunah that Hashem is in control of the world, then only then can you actually refrain from planting crops in the seventh year and not worry about what to rely on in the eighth year, since you didn't plant anything in the seventh year. So that it relies on not just a trust, but a recognition of Hashem's mastery of the world, because if you didn't believe in that, then why would you keep Shemitah? So obviously, there's a connection between Shemitah and these initial onset of Pesach going into the Yemei Sfira, you know, to look at Hashem's mastery of the world. Now, the sages teach that failure to observe Shemitah and Yovel brings terrible punishments in exile, many of which are included in Parshat Bichukotai, this week's Parsha. And obviously, we don't want to focus too much on the negative, we don't want to focus too much on the curses, so it's more important to focus on what we should do and what we should do positively. Now, as the Yovel year would become closer, everything in Eretz Yisrael becomes increasingly dependent upon it, and that includes crops, land ownerships, and more. Right, so just as we approach Shavuos, we get increasing anticipation of receiving the Torah, according to the Or Gedol Yahu, with increasing Yiras Hashem. Right, so not just recognizing Hashem's mastery of the world, but the more and more we understand how he plays a role and what he does, the more awe-inspired we should be, right? And it ultimately culminates in the final blast, which also that is absolutely a parallel, because Yovel, they had a big, big shofar blast, and of course there's a humongous shofar blast from the Shemayim by Matan Torah when the Torah was given, so it's another parallel. Now, another interesting thing, so we have 49, right? So 49 is 7 times 7, that's the number that's appearing, and of course we have the number 50. But we also have the numbers 42 and 48. How so? Because the word Yovel, Yud Bet Lamed, can also be spelled Yud Vav Bet Lamed. Now, Yud Bet Lamed in Gematria, or numerical value, is 42. Yovel with a Vav is 48. So after 42, that's when you've had 6 weeks or six sets of years, right? Depending on if you're counting years or days. So let's stick with years right now, right? So you've had six Shemitah cycles, right? 6 times 7 is 42. Now you're entering your final Shemitah cycle, the last period of 7 years, which is the last chance to get things right before the Yovel cycle is over, if you have not done so before. However, a chazaka, a firm standing, is paramount, and therefore it's crucial to have 3 years of bitachon, which by a normal Shemitah, Chazal described as the year before Shemitah, which you have to make preparations, the year itself, and the year following the Shemitah. Let me explain. Shemitah is the seventh year of a cycle. In the sixth year, you have to start preparing for the fact that you will not be planting or harvesting in the seventh year. The seventh year itself is obviously involved in the process, since you can't do anything and you have to completely rely on what you've prepared in the sixth year. And in the seventh year, you can't prepare in the eighth year, so to some extent in the sixth year, you had to prepare for the eighth year too. Therefore, the sixth, seventh, and eighth years are inextricably linked, right? So that's known as a chazaka, or a firm standing of your bitachon, because it's 3 years in a row of connecting that. Now, by Yovel, what are those 3 years? 48, 49, and 50, right? 48 is the year before the final Shemitah year. 49 is that final Shemitah year, right? The seventh of seven, seventh of seven. And 50 is the Yovel year itself. So 48, 59, and 50. And as parallel to Shavuot, we know that Hashem commanded Moshe to allow for 2 days before Matan Torah, which was really 3 days, to prepare for Matan Torah. Now, it's not clear if ultimately it was Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan with that the Torah was given, but either way, there were 3 days counted, and those 3 days counted leading up to it were day 48 of the Omer, day 49 of the Omer, and the 50th day, which was Matan Torah. So that's also 48, 49, and 50. So it's days 48, 49, and 50 as part of preparation and receiving. Same thing with Yovel, preparation, Shemitah, and receiving, 48, 49, and 50. Now, interestingly enough, in the paragraphs after saying the Sirat HaOmer, we say a prayer that we say on many occasions, which is Ana B'Koach. It is a Kabbalistic prayer said on numerous occasions, and Kabbalists teach it has 42 words corresponding in a very mixed up order to the 42-letter name of Hashem. Now, one may notice that it's proper to recite Baruch Shem Kvod Melechato Olam Ve'ed after this prayer, which actually makes the total to 48. So it's 42, which is 48, right? So Yovel, which is also 42 and 48, depending if you put the Vav in. There's also a combination by Levites, the Levite cities, and how that ties into 42 and 48. Not getting into that now, but just know that this isn't the only instance in which we have 42 becoming 48. There's actually numerous instances in which this happens, where it actually kind of straddles this border. And everything I've been describing shows us many things, but at least two things. One, when an important event or moment is approaching, it's important to prepare and take steps for the entire moment properly, not just what's immediately coming next, but even what comes after that. Secondly, it's never too late. Even if you mess up the first 6 times, you still have your 7th time. And even if you mess up the 7th time, there's always that last part, the 48th, 49th, and 50th days, the last 3 years, whatever it might be, to strengthen your connection to Hashem and believe in Hashem. Never give up. You can achieve the seemingly insurmountable level of 50, which is the level of Shavuos and the level of Yovel, something which even Moshe strives to reach, this level of 50, which, again, is supposed to be an abstract concept for a physical being, right? On both Matan Torah and during the Yovel year, an extended shofar blast is always sounded. But when's the 3rd time? We want to have a chazaka, right? We had Matan Torah. We had the Yovel years. Then we want the 3rd time, where there's going to be an incredible, incredible shofar blast that'll be heard all around the world, and that'll be the shofar blast with the coming of the Mashiach, b'heir v'yameinu, amen.